You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
And welcome into the gym class on a very, 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 very rainy Tuesday afternoon, June the 9th. Scott Udash with you from our studios on the soggy southwest side. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Our producer once again here today. Maybe weatherman as well today. May have to call upon him for some information as far as that is concerned. Mark Dukes joining us hopefully from underneath some an awning or a shelter or something at his home on the southwest side, not too far away from here. And good afternoon, Mark. Cristobal is coming through, man.
Hey, I'm sheltered in place and doing fine. Looking forward to the next hour, Scott.
Yeah, we got a good show for you. Of course, we'll talk more about the fallout as far as Iowa football is concerned and the former players coming out. Starting last Friday, that continues today. Another former football player for the University of Iowa heard from, and we will talk about that coming up. We're also going to talk with Tom Keating. He is the executive director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association. Our friend Tom, the former Dubuque-Wallert coach and teacher, and of course former administrator here in town at Cedar Rapids Xavier, and now the executive director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and we will talk with him about the resumption of sports. Baseball is back, of course, for the boys, softball back for the girls, what it means, what was the thinking behind it, and some of the facts and figures, and how it's gone so far through the first 7 days of this grand experiment. Really looking forward to talking with Tom.
Yes, I am as well, and we're appreciative of him coming on the program. And so many questions, I'm not sure how many answers Tom will have, but I know folks are not only wondering about the summer, but what the fall may look like in terms of football. So that is a couple months down the road. We'll see what Tom can bring to light in that regard.
There you go. 319-366-1600. That is the text line again today. As always, 319-366-1600. And, yeah, we've gotten at least a couple of inches of rain here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, maybe even more. And it looks like it's going to rain for the next several hours. Another chance tomorrow. And, again, this is the remnants. It did become a hurricane, correct, Mark? Hurricane Cristobal. Not Mario Cristobal, just Hurricane Cristobal moving its way into the Midwest. So check that off your bingo card in 2020 if you had remnants of hurricane hitting the state of Iowa, at least the eastern half anyway.
You know, you're going to have to consult Buttons on this because there's been so many things going on in the world, in the sports world. I'm not sure what category Cristobal is.
Oh, He just perked up so quickly. You just made his day. It's now become the National Hurricane Center, at least for Iowa. Here talk to our right. You ought to see him. See, this is one of those times if we had a webcam in here that we would be showing off Buttons and the glee he is showing right now out there. Again, 319-366-1600. We'll get the answer to those questions. We'll talk with Tom Keating coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But, Mark, the big story around Eastern Iowa, the state of Iowa anyway, Big Ten country, if you will, and really college football is the Iowa football program. The allegations made by former African-American players toward members of the Iowa football coaching staff. And it continues, I guess, last night into today from several fronts, including, I don't think there's a better way to say it, a controversial front, if you will.
Yeah, and it's Darrell Johnson Koulianos, who was, when he left the Iowa program, was the all-time leading receiver for the Hawkeyes, and a terrific player. But he was a subject of some issues, some legal issues that resulted in him not playing in the Insight Bowl after the 2010 season.
And, yes, and eventually leaving the Iowa football program, and has said, has not shied away from letting his feelings be known as far as how he was treated when he was in Iowa City, his thoughts about the Iowa football program, and more, to be perfectly honest about it. And like I said, he has not minced words, and he has not minced words as far as coming out and talking about this situation.
Well, he submitted a lengthy a statement to Rob Howe of the Hawkeye Nation, who is a friend of the show, particularly the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn, a guy I respect a great deal. But this has been... I wouldn't say there's been an outpouring of support for DJK and his comments, but it has been the subject of discussion today. Perhaps some of you will remember DJK. You probably should. He concluded his career in 2010. He played in all but one game in his career, a four-year career. The game he missed was that bowl game after he was kicked off the team. And at the time, he was arrested in December of 2010 on 7 charges, 4 counts of possession of controlled substances, 2 counts of unlawful possession of prescription drugs, and 1 count of keeping a drug house, all misdemeanors, by the way. Investigators, upon examining the house, found more than $3,000 in cash at the time, marijuana, cocaine, and prescription drugs, those in the house. And at the time, DJK admitted to using marijuana, admitted to investigators using cocaine, and after investigators found residue of such in the house. And eventually, Koulianos and his legal team pleaded down to possession of marijuana, and don't quote me on this. I think that might have been expunged at one time as well. But even in this statement to Rob Howe, in which DJK alleges some not so nice things about Chris Doyle and Kirk Ferentz, in the statement, DJK admits that he lived with a drug dealer. And that he admitted that being a mistake. Was DJK targeted by Doyle, Ferentz? Was he treated unjustly? Did he invite issues? I think, I don't know the full story. I know what I've read. I know what I heard at the time. And I know what I've read in DJK's statement to Rob Howe, and you just have to draw your own conclusions. This is a guy that it was the coaching staff felt at least was a malcontent at one time. Again, I would say the same token, if he was such an issue, he played in every game up until that bowl game his senior year. Now, did Ferentz and the coaching staff use him as much as they should have or might have based on his, his attitude, what have you. That's kind of a behind the scenes thing. But nevertheless, I think that's the news of the day on that front, which we discussed a whole lot yesterday. How much credence do you put in to what DJK is saying? That's for you to judge. And all I'm saying is that this is a guy that was not a saint, nor maybe he was not a pariah either. I'd be interested in what Doyle and Kirk Ferentz has to say about this, but there's no statement at this time. And
there won't be about DJK's.
I don't think so. There's rumors that, not a rumor, that he had a book in the works. At one time, rumors that perhaps the Iowa football staff put a kibosh to that at one time. I don't know. I don't have that on authority. That was just stories that were coming out at the time. And I'm reading Rob Howe's Twitter feed right now, and he says 12 minutes ago, Hawkeye Nation ownership has decided to remove this post from our website, and he has a link to opinions that he collected, but also the statement from DJK. So I don't know which a post was removed. Perhaps Rob can clear that up for us. But nevertheless, Rob's doing a lot of legwork in this regard, and like his work or not, he's done a lot to, you know, bring these tweets from former players to the surface. And you know, again, I respect Rob a whole lot, and I encourage you, if you can, to read DJK's statement and judge for yourself.
I would agree. 319-366-1600, your thoughts. Now, there is no mistaking the fact that DJK has an agenda toward the Iowa football program. And I do believe you do need to read that into it a little bit. But some of his statements go along with the statements of what we have read over the last 5 days or so. Has it been five Fridays, Saturdays, Saturday? 5 days, 4.5 days, whatever the case may be. So you have to give some credence. You must give some credence to what DJK is saying out there. But again, a little bit reading between the lines in there as well. What do you think on the text line? 319-366-1600. As we talk a little bit more about the Iowa football program and its situation right now, Chris Doyle still on leave as of today. And that has not changed, certainly, at 3:16 anyway, on Tuesday, June the 9th. And the Hawkeyes continue to, with the players in Iowa City now, at least we believe most of the players in Iowa City anyway, continue to go through, as far as what they can, normalcy-wise, summer workouts here on 2020. By the way, yesterday, kind of lost in the shuffle of all this, Mark, was the fact that the University of Iowa announced that one member of the athletic, the entire realm of the athletic department, whether it be an athlete, a coach, a administrator, a helper, whatever the case may be, did test positive for COVID-19. That was kind of lost yesterday among everything out there as far as the Iowa football program in Iowa City.
Yes, indeed. That was announced yesterday, and I'm trying to find the release right now that was put out. And I've got it. 237 COVID-19 tests were administered as part of the return to campus protocol. Testing began May 29th and included students, student athletes, coaches, and staff. The release says one positive test and 236 negative tests had been received. And of course, following the positive test protocol established by the university, put into place in terms of contract tracing procedures and whatnot.
Yeah, and so Iowa doing their best to curtail that. So, and I think that's going to be, like we talked about last week before all this happened in Iowa City, that's going to be more the norm, I think, than the exception. As far as programs around are concerned, you're going to have, you hope not anyway, but do not be surprised if there is one or two people that test positive for COVID-19, and then you got to take care of the situation. However, the NCAA and the conference and the school deem it necessary to do. And that's
what Iowa's
doing.
Yeah, and there's been a smattering of similar. Iowa State, actually, the first one to announce a positive test, that coming a week or two ago. And we've heard similar stories, including at Alabama, maybe a handful, half a dozen positive tests and others. I guess it's not to be unexpected when you have players returning from all parts of the country in some cases. So those situations are being dealt with. And as far as Iowa, as you mentioned, a one positive test in 237 administered.
On the text line from the 847 area code, 8233, DJK's statement is the, quote, book, unquote. That's the story he told. That is true to a certain extent and to a very big extent out there. And that's the way it is right now in 2020. And ever since we had the dawn of social media, everybody is a reporter to a certain extent. Everybody is an author out there to a certain extent as well. And again, that's the time we live in 2020 out there. 319-366-1600, 8369 on the text line. People like Gary Barta, Kirk Ferentz, Chris Doyle, and Steve Rowe basically act with impunity because they know the only people who can check them are a weak bunch of Iowa media members who depend on them for their credentials. As long as this story stays local, then nothing will change within the program. Well, that's not true because this is not a local story. This story has been national since the weekend. And I took a couple of screenshots just for myself of CBSSports.com with Iowa football mentioned twice on the front page of CBSSports.com. So this is not a local story. In fact, we're going to talk to Adam Rittenberg coming up on Thursday, Mark, who covers college football, senior writer for ESPN.com, and get his thoughts about it because he was in the Zoom meetings as well that Iowa held. And so this is far from a local story.
I would agree, and I'm going to defend some of my brethren. I've been away from the beat for a while, but I'm certainly aware I hired some of these guys, Mark Morehouse and others, Mike Alas.
Mike Alas had a great piece today.
They are not afraid to ask a tough question, or as are others in the Iowa contingent. I mean, I'm aware of some that are along for the ride. They never ask questions in a news conference. But I can name at least a handful of media members that are not afraid to ask tough questions. And I don't want to start naming names because I'm going to leave somebody out. But to say it's a weak bunch of Iowa media members, I'm going to defend my brethren in that regard.
I would second you on that. And I would have the back of those good folks out there. 3:22, coming up on 3:22 here on the Gym Class program here on KGYM. We'll talk more about this. There is some baseball news to talk about today as well, as even though Major League Baseball, the ownership said that they are not going to have a counter proposal to the Players Association's talks of a, 114-game season or whatever the case may be. They have come back with something, or at least rumored the fact they have come back with something. The NBA looking at what they are going to do to resume their season, and at least one GM talking about the fact that the 2021 season might be shortened due to the fact that this season is taking so long. So a couple things to look at as far as that is concerned. 3:23, coming up on 3:23. Mark and I are going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk with Tom Keating, the executive director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association, because, you know, 1 week ago today, this was the big story going on, the resumption of baseball and softball out there in the state of Iowa. And we will talk about that with Tom when we return on the Gym Class right after this here on KGYM.
First, this crazy crisis, and now hail. One thing is for sure, this perfect storm means you can save big. Dave Wright here from Dave Wright Nissan Subaru. If you don't mind a few dents and dings, you could save up to an incredible $20,000 off new Nissans, or save up to $10,000 off new Subarus, or save up to 50% off our pre-owned vehicles. But we are still here to help you the safest way possible. We're sanitizing and keeping a safe distance. Plus, if your car was damaged in the storm, we'll take it off your hands and give you way more than it's worth. It's the hail sale of the century. You can save up to $20,000 off brand new cars if you don't mind a few dents and dings. Or save up to 50% off our pre-owned vehicles. This perfect storm means you can get the car of your dreams and leave some money in your pocket. But hurry, these deals are only good until all the hail cars are gone, and with these savings, it won't take long. See all the cars at DaveRideAuto.com. That's DaveRideAuto.com.
Discount varies depending on actual damage. Not all vehicles have damage. All incentives to dealer. Ends when all hail cars are gone.
So you're upgrading a house, planning an incredible master bath, a stunning open concept kitchen, but for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Create something truly inspired with TimberTech. Design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Imagine the possibilities at TimberTech.com. Bring your outdoor living space to life with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Now is the time to get in on the action with Elite Sportsbook. Receive a 50% match on your first online deposit up to $200 for all brand new accounts now through August 31st. Sign up at Rhythm City Casino Resort or Riverside Casino and Golf Resort to qualify for the new account deposit match. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for complete details and restrictions. Then start betting on your phone anywhere in Iowa. Get in on the action with Elite Sportsbook. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
This summer, check out the store where students shop and Hawkeye fans find what they're looking for. Iowa Book and Supply features the world's largest selection of Hawkeye gifts and apparel. You can even have a t-shirt custom made in Iowa Book's lower level. Support the Hawks or make your own statement with a shirt from Iowa Book and Supply. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol.
Iowa Book, a one-of-a-kind bookstore.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brammelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
3:25 back with you on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. As we mentioned, Adam Rittberg from ESPN.com is going to join us coming up on Thursday. And looking forward to that, talking the national perspective as far as the story concerning the Iowa football team. More of your texts, and we'll get to those coming up because a couple of pretty good questions brought up on the text line during that last break, and we will talk about that coming up. But want to bring in our next guest, and that is our friend Tom Keating, the executive director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association, formerly of Cedar Rapids Xavier. Before that, of course, going back a few more years anyway from his days, very successful days as head volleyball coach at Dubuque Waller. But Tom, taking time out of his busy schedule to join us here on the program. And Tom, I don't think it doesn't matter if we're facing a pandemic or whatever. No one's practicing today with the rain coming down.
Yeah, you usually you don't hear the words tropical storm associated with Iowa very often, Scott, but it sure looks like it today.
It does. Yeah, and like we talked about at the beginning of the show, kind of tongue-in-cheek, mark that off your 2020 bingo card of things that we are going through. Tropical depression, crystal ball going through right now. But well, we're in day six since the resumption of athletics here in the state of Iowa, practicing right now. For baseball, what you guys are concerned about in Boone with the Iowa High School Athletic Association. And it's still early, the returns and the results so far, but what have you heard?
Well, you know, I think a little bit of what we expected, which was, you know, the kids are just happy to get out on the field and get going again. The coaches are excited to be out there as well. I think what we've heard more than anything else, Scott, from the kids especially is, man, it was a little different when we first got out there with all these things in place, but we're getting used to it, and it's all worth it if we can get out here and be on the field. So I think people are adjusting pretty well to it, the practice part of it at least. You know, when the games and stuff start next week, then, you know, we'll see some other things and how those play out. But right now I think, you know, most of the questions that people have are easy to answer. And I think people are just excited to not only be back at practice, but I think the kids are happy to be around their classmates and feel a little bit of a connection back to school.
Tom, take us inside your office, because I think people would be interested to know in the decision-making that was done last month leading up to the resumption of practices and eventually games. And I know you take your cue from a lot of different areas, right?
Yeah, you know, I think we had to have certain things, certain green lights for us, you know, and I think obviously the governor's proclamation was the key. The Iowa Department of Public Health, having the opportunity to have conversations with them about how we could do this safely. The Department of Education and Dr. Lebo, in terms of, you know, how was this going to play out on school facilities and with school personnel, and how is it going to be connected to, you know, reopening of learning and just combining all of that. So, you know, when those things played out at the right time, and we kind of knew, you know, the governor has been doing things. She's been kind of following that 14-day protocol, which, you know, that's the cycle of the virus, and so we'll know more in 14 days. So when she got to a point where she felt the numbers indicated that, you know, we could 14 days out look at doing this safely, then she gave the green light, and then we got some things going, met with our own boards, our respective boards of control and board of directors at the Girls Union, and talked through things there. We had some Zoom meetings with the Baseball Coaches Association. We had a meeting with the Iowa High School Athletic Directors Association, and we had a meeting with umpires before we put our stuff together. Once we got it put together, then we had more meetings via Zoom with those same groups. Coaches, all the baseball coaches in Iowa, all the ADs in Iowa, and all and any umpires that wanted to get on with us to answer the questions that they had, to make sure that they were going to be, they were going to feel comfortable with things. But so, you know, there was a lot going on, and we were getting a lot of information. In addition to that, the NFHS was providing some guidance as well, and that was helpful, but at the same time, you know, they were a little bit more focused on the fall because we're the only state that plays summer baseball, softball. So long answer to a short question, but yeah, we were seeking information from lots of groups
anyway. And I would imagine that you're still in constant communication with other association directors and just national entities, even now, 6 days into it. And I think especially after next Monday, I think people, whether it be our surrounding states or maybe even both coasts, are going to be inquiring about how things are going.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, this obviously, Scott, was not the reason we did this, but this is going to help us come fall. We will learn from this. We will identify challenges that we're going to need to be able to address. We're going to learn what goes well. We're going to get some great feedback from our ADs and coaches, and, you know, people will put things in place that we didn't even think of that will be successful, and we'll be able to learn from that. Principal Park folks have been terrific. They are actually going to host some games on Monday, and then they're going to do some more games the week of the 22nd, 24th, and 25th. They're going to run a series of games that really is kind of a way to see what would the state tournament look like under the guidelines we've got to follow. And so they'll do a little run through. We'll go down and watch and see how it goes. So, yeah, I think those other states are they're indeed they're watching us because they want to know what happens, and they want to see, again, what can we learn from this so that when we come to the fall and we've got, you know, when you consider boys and girls as separate teams, we've got seven sports going, what will that look like?
Tom, this may be a question more for health officials, but I'll ask it anyway. And because I've been asked about it, why the tremendous amount of precautions for a population of teenagers that is affected at 0.1% of the entire population? My response is, well, you've got adults, coaches, umpires, whatnot to consider as well. I don't know if you've been ask that question or not, but I guess I'll ask for any response you may give.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's a legitimate question. And we, you know, our response is if those kids lived in isolation, then, you know, it'd be no problem at all. But the fact of the matter is they interact with adults. They interact with their families, their parents. We do have coaches there. We do have umpires. We do have fans. So, you know, I think the Department of Ed, I think, came out with some guidance that was reasonable and gave schools the opportunity to, you know, adjust according to the size of their facility, et cetera. There weren't a lot of hard, fast precautionary measures. You know, we're not requiring face masks, but if you feel comfortable wearing it, then wear it. You know, we are requiring that we wipe equipment down before and after practice. But the big thing is, I'll give you an example. We talked about baseballs during a practice. If you've ever been to a high school baseball practice, there's probably 100 balls going, you know, in the drills. And, you know, are we supposed to wipe those down after every drill? Well, the answer is no. What you do is you have the kids sanitize their hands after every drill, and then they don't have to worry about what have they touched already. And so the DE and the public health department really, I think, has made it feasible to go ahead and conduct things. You know, we're not saying people can't be in bleachers. We're not saying that you can't be in this part of the park or that part of the park. But we are, where we can, being as cautious as possible to give people a sense of comfort.
Some of those balls that are used in practice are probably about half as old as the kids at times.
fact,
just throwing that out there. Tom Keating joining us from the Iowa High School Athletic Association, the executive director. We talk here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming up on 3:36 anyway. And you mentioned for the fall, and not to take anything away as far as baseball and softball are concerned, because, you know, I played baseball, Mark played baseball. There are so many great kids that play it. But like you said, you're looking at the fall, seven sports or whatever the case may be going at that particular time anyway. And, you know, for that to work, we obviously have to have the summer work. And I don't think that's a real big surprise to anybody out there.
No, I think you're right, and we know that as timing would have it, you know, well, let me use a phrase that we're hearing a lot anymore at this moment in time, right? At this moment in time, it looks like we can conduct our baseball and softball season safely, and as luck would have it or timing would have it, you know, we've got two sports where A, we're outside, B, kids are pretty much, you know, during the contest itself, they're relatively far apart, and they don't have that close interaction. Whereas in football, you know, that's a little different. And in cross country, if you've ever gone to a meet and watched the starting line, it's a little different.
Yep.
And so we need to learn some things from this to be able to apply to the fall. In addition to that, you know, we need to be planning for you know, the start of school. What is that going to look like? What's school going to look like in the fall? We're not exactly sure of that yet either, but we'll keep developing plans and contingencies. And like we said, we made a lot of plans in the spring we didn't get to carry out, but that's okay. You still have to make them, and you still have to allow for contingencies.
Yeah, Tom, I know there's a lot of uncertainties and things you can't really address because we really don't know at this time. But football is the elephant in the room. And I guess I'm asking you, what sorts of boxes need to be checked for a football season to happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think we'll rely mostly on the Department of Public Health. And, you know, we also will rely on guidance from the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee of the National Federation. They are in contact. The National Federation is in contact continuously with the NCAA, the NFL, and other organizations, as well as, you know, we need to be thinking about what will cross country look like? What will volleyball look like? What will swimming look like? What will golf look like? But you're right. I mean, the football thing is you are engaged physically with someone more in that sport than certainly baseball and softball. And so we're going to need some great guidance from the medical folks to, you know, assure us that it's safe to do it. And I think, you know, as we keep looking at numbers, they overall continue to come down. That's a good sign. We've got about, I think my count is we've got about 9 weeks till the start of football practice. So we don't have a lot of time to put things in place because you can't wait till that first day to spring it on everybody and say, this is how we're going to do it. So we're working feverishly here to get the information that we need.
Well, not only that.
That was my follow-up, Tom. Excuse me, Scott. With the first practice being August 10th, I believe. Things have to be put in place, obviously, Mr. Obvious here, before that time. And, you know, you may be working forward, maybe working backwards from that date. I don't know. What are you thinking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the first thing we're looking at is what would we do if school did not start on August 23rd? You know, or August 24th. Mm-hmm. What would it look like if, you know, we had a delay in the start of school? Then, you know, what would our season look like? So we're looking at that part, and then we're also looking at the same time, you know, what will practices look like? What will you know, games look like? But we are working on both of those. Both of those concepts, that we have to think about the season as a whole, and then we have to think about what actually is going on within that season. And right now, you know, the trend lines look like they look encouraging, but again, we're gonna defer to the Department of Public Health and the NFHS to give us the guidance that we need, and then we'll do what we can. You know, I think one of the hard parts, guys, is the situations are so different in different parts of the country, and they're so different mm-hmm. in different parts of the state. You know, the term hotspots has been used ad nauseum, right? But it's true. There are places that are have higher incident rates than others, so. You know, not everybody is experiencing the same thing. So how do you manage that? You know, that's and as we've seen, we've got, you know, not many, but we've got a couple of schools that decided not to play baseball because of their situation.
True. Yeah, I know. It's just going to piggyback on the fall discussion about the fact not only do you have the football, the players themselves. But you have, of course, probably the sport with the most fans in the stands. You have marching bands. You have big student sections as far as schools are concerned. There's just you have color guards. You have this and that. You have so many things besides mm-hmm. just what's going on in the field that you guys have to consider.
Absolutely. And you know, I'll go back to that phrase, at this moment in time, because – you know, let's think back to about the middle of April. And, you know, in the middle of April, I think we were concerned about everyone and anyone who may have been exposed, symptomatic, asymptomatic, didn't matter. We were worried about what we were touching and what other people were touching. We were worried about walking past each other within 6 feet. And at this moment in time, we're now being told, at least there's some research that says, you know, touching surfaces isn't as risky as we maybe thought it was. You know, the asymptomatic folks may not be spreading it as readily as symptomatic folks. You know, the social distancing generally is meant for those people who spend time close together. You know, depending on what Department of Public Health you listen to, it's either 10 minutes or 30 minutes that you need to be next to somebody that and be at risk. So there's a lot that changes, and you know, who knows what's going to happen by August. Could go the other way, right? We could learn some things that we don't know today that make it seem more risky, but we might learn things that make us feel like, you know, maybe we're going to be okay with this. And the way things are opening up, the other good news, guys, is the way things are opening up publicly is going to give us a good indication of whether we're going to be able to do this in large groups or not, with fans, with bands, with teams, because if we would have gone into August with no restaurants open, you know, no businesses open, and then all of a sudden in August we decided to do that a little bit, I think we'd be a little nervous because we wouldn't know what's the end result going to be. We should be able to find out. We should be able to find out through all this opening what the impact on the numbers is.
Very much so. Very much so. And I'd imagine you, like you said, get to keep in touch with Gene over at the Girls High School Athletic Union as well. And just to make sure you guys compare notes. And, of course, state tournaments are kind of, I think, will even overlap a little bit this year. So, some interesting. You guys compare notes quite a bit, I would imagine.
Daily. We've been in very close contact, not only Gene and I, but we get our staffs together probably no less than weekly to talk through whether it's, you know, softball, baseball stuff, fall stuff, or, you know, out-of-season contact stuff right now, school facility stuff. As you can imagine, we get a lot of questions about a lot of that, and it's, you know, it's important that we talk it through together and that we give consistent information to our ADs and our coaches.
Tom, no more questions, but thanks for joining us. And I would just say that I look forward to watching my grandson's senior year of football. Wink, wink.
Well, Mark, I appreciate that. And, you know, as I've told lots of folks, this is what we're built for. You know, we're built to run seasons, run tournaments. We're not built to cancel things, and we are doing everything we possibly can to give our kids an opportunity in a safe situation, and quite frankly, to give our communities something to feel good about. I mean, I think if we can do that and get people feeling like, you know, maybe we're getting back to some sense of normalcy, then, you know, bravo. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we're on that road, and you and your staff and Jean and her staff over at the Girls Union, kudos to all of you and the Department of Education and everyone. And hopefully Monday will be a beautiful, beautiful sunny day, and play ball will be heard all over the state of Iowa. I think nobody wants that more with safe conditions than all of us. And appreciate it, Tom.
Three words indeed. Yep, you bet, guys. Thank you very much.
And I'm sorry your Phillies are not playing right now, your beloved Philadelphia Phillies. We feel your pain with our teams as well.
Yep, I hear you. Well, we'll see if the adults and the professionals can get together the way we did and see if they can pull it off. So,
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tom. Tom Keating, the executive director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association, joining us here on the program. And yes, Troy, we will tell him that you say hi. We're here during the break. 3:48, and we'll come back with more on the gym class after this on KGYM.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are 4 times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Right now, sports is revisiting the classics.
Got him open at the 70-yard line. Touchdown.
For the left, he lays it in.
to the wall.
Seems like your music should too. And you can. It's called Smart Rock, an infinite library of the best music ever created. Catch it on Smart FM, 95.1 in Cedar Rapids, 98.5 in Iowa City, or on your smart speaker. The best sports moments in history on KGYM. The best music in the history of the planet on Smart FM.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
Hey guys, I know there's a lot going on right now in the world, and we're all shopping online. I just saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They're offering fast, free, no-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7, subject to change restrictions apply.
Anyone who builds, remodels, or repairs for a living, we know the way you work has changed. That's why Lowe's is committing today to build new ways to keep you working tomorrow. We are proud to introduce the new Lowe's for Pros job site, powered by Stream, an augmented video chat tool so you can be there for your customers without actually being there. And the cost to use? Try it free through October 31st at lowesforpros.com/proloyalty. Just one of the reasons why Lowe's is the new home for pros. Services subject to Stream terms. Lowe's loyalty membership required. More terms apply.
Here at AutoZone, we're all about helping you get what you need to keep life moving. Like for that next oil change. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Motor Oil, an STP Extended Life Oil Filter, and a Monster Energy Drink, all for just $33.99. And if you need something fast, you can get it fast your way. Whether it's next day delivery or free same day pickup, in-store or curbside, the choice is yours. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Welcome back, 3:51 on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Our thanks to Tom Keating from the Iowa High School Athletic Association for joining us. Some really good insight there with Tom. We'll have that conversation up and for you and ready to go at our website at kgymradio.com on the podcast. Buttons will get that up and going here as soon as we are done with our program here today. And I think I feel more optimistic now about fall.
Well, again, there's still a large amount of uncertainty in that regard, but I think Tom pointed toward some optimism that football would be played. A lot of factors to be worked out, not only about the game itself, but in terms of fans, what have you. He made an interesting point about places in the country are different. Places in Iowa are different. So managing all that is going to be a challenge as well. So I think, again, practice beginning August 10th. And that's, what did he say, 9 weeks away?
Yep.
I cut that in half. I think there's going to have to be some kind of decision, in the next, 6 weeks?
I'd say pretty much the week after the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Just ahead of the state baseball tournaments getting started and the girls' softball getting started as well. So, yeah, food for thought out there as far as what Tom had to say. Again, you can revisit that after the show at kgymradio.com. We talked about Iowa football, that situation at the start of the program. We can get back to that here at 3:53 in our few remaining minutes here. 43:98 on the text line. Iowa media taking an unfair beating from fans. I imagine this is what Penn State media felt like when fans attacked them for writing stories about Joe Paterno. Yes, I think to a certain extent, both obviously what happened at Penn State, very, very nasty situation. But I can imagine a little bit of similarities anyway.
I personally don't want to hear any comparisons to Penn State. It's apples and oranges. I mean, child molestation and racial disparity are both bad things, but they're not the same. And the situations are not the same, at least to this point. And I just, no, I don't want to hear about comparisons to Penn State.
1345 chimes in on the text line. Could Kirk lose his job if they, that would be the independent council put together with Gary Barta, they find out he knew and didn't do anything? Granted, it's not what Joe Paterno did, but it's still a serious matter. And again, there's the Joe Paterno thrown in there to that situation. Could Kirk Ferentz lose his job?
I suppose anything's possible.
Anything is possible.
It's more likely Kirk throws up his hands and said, I've had enough of this. I don't think that or firing is probably likely, but nothing's out of the realm, I guess. And Kirk's been proactive to this point, in my opinion, and trying to do some things that are going to make the situation better. You can't change the past, obviously. You can only march forward in the future.
Yeah, and that's kind of the situation today. I mentioned Mike Colossus, who we had on yesterday. If you want to go back and listen to our conversation with Mike, very good one yesterday. That's on our podcast at kgymradio.com. Just go to our webpage and find that and listen to it and enjoy it. Talked with Shelley Till today, who has several shoes that she fills, including a parent of two University of Iowa athletes, former University of Iowa athletes anyway. And just her comments about how she is looking at this and encouraging others to look at this in a positive way that, okay, this is out there now. If indeed this is what has happened and what has taken place in the University of Iowa, it is good that it came to light right now and that the coaching staff can take steps, positive steps, to try to fix this situation and make it just and equal. And I would agree with Shelley on that. It's easier said than done. I don't think there's any doubt about that. This is not going to be built in one day. But getting the culture changed is the name of the game. And hopefully, we're on that route anyway.
Yeah, and I'm very much looking forward to talking with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN on Thursday to get his take on, you know, the 10,000-foot view of the Iowa football program right now. And again, the fact that very, very few other programs, their former players, are speaking out about any racial disparities in those programs. So, again, that's Thursday with Adam Rittenberg.
Yep. That'll be coming up on the Thursday edition of the show. Baseball, we mentioned the fact that the owners, they don't want quite as many games as the players, but at least they came back with a little bit of something, but it's not really gotten any closer. And keeping the fingers crossed that will be the case, but we'll see anyway. Mark, good show. Again, the podcast will be up in just a few minutes at kgymradio.com. You have a good night. Stay dry, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Talk to you then.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class. Todd and Alex next, KGYM.
We're here to tell you about Boost Mobile's new upgraded network.
That's right. Stronger signal, faster speeds, and more coverage.
So now you can get everything you want faster.